Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We believe that these words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and the God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us, and God uses His Word first. So I share with you from God's Word as we read them in the book of the Psalms, a word that simply means songs. In the book of Psalms, we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. Though the mountains tremble with its tumult, we will not fear. Psalm 46. In our day and age, we know more about tsunamis, that they're caused by earthquakes that affect the ocean floor. They didn't know that in Bible times, and yet we understand these Bible words very well. Even if the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. But the Bible quickly adds, we will not fear. Tsunamis are certainly destructive and bring many things to an end. But the Bible says, even if the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, even if your life has changes like a tsunami brings, you see, we won't be afraid because God is our help. God wants us to know that God will help us. It is said about the God I serve that God is a very present help in time of trouble, and as I point out, any kind of trouble, as well as any time of trouble. The Bible speaks of life, death, and life beyond death. Jesus said of the Heavenly Father, if you've seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father. Because I will mention Jesus in the message today as well. We always share an affirmation of our faith at Daleville Christian Church when we gather together. We have some 20 affirmations in rotation that we use. They're all from God's Word. This one from Colossians in the first chapter. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's S-O-N, Jesus, the Son of God. Brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The reading of God's Word for today is from the letter we call Romans. The Apostle Paul had not visited the city of Rome yet in his life on the mission of sharing the gospel with Gentiles. But there were Gentile congregations already present in the city of Rome and around the city of Rome. And his letter is written to all of them because one would read the letter publicly in the worship and then send it on to another congregation or make copies and send them on to other congregations for the congregations to have to hear from the Apostle Paul. And the reading is in the first chapter, verses 18 through 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men, people, are without excuse. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. This Sunday is Thanksgiving Day Sunday. And it certainly is at Daleville Christian Church, and I begin with a conversation I had decades ago about Thanksgiving Day. But before I do, I want to explain to any of the international audience hearing this message that Thanksgiving Day is an annual celebration in the United States, declared by previous U.S. presidents and set by the government as the fourth Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day. As I will explain in today's message, the day harkens back to this nation's beginning in New England, Massachusetts Bay Colony, Plymouth, Massachusetts. So, decades ago, I asked a young woman a question about Thanksgiving Day. The woman got angry at my question. I believe she got angry because she didn't understand my question. These days, I believe it's easier to understand my question. My question was, since on Thanksgiving Day, Christians give thanks to God, if one does not believe in God, to whom do others give thanks? In the 21st century, statistics tell us that we, as a nation, as the United States, are more secular. More and more people do not claim a church, many more people do not claim a denomination, and many more people do not claim a particular faith family. No matter what faith family it is, people don't claim one. It doesn't have to be Christianity. It could be any of the others. People don't claim those either. The people over at the Gallup poll tell us this. When you Google the question, the answer to how many Americans believe in God depends on how the question is asked. That being said, typically people do not answer the same way to the question. 81% of Americans will say they believe in God when asked. However, when asked if they're convinced God exists, only 64% are convinced. So there's a 16% of gray area where people believe in God but are not convinced God exists. Now, I haven't even tried to look up anything about how many people believe in the historical, traditional Christian God, or to be clearer, the Christian God in Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah. But I think that America has made its opinions clear. There are fewer and fewer Christians in the United States. And so I would be correct in saying that there's a lot of misunderstanding about Thanksgiving Day, given that it was founded on the traditions of a Christian group of religious refugees way back in 1621 in their community of Plymouth, Massachusetts. So if anyone is iffy about God or the Christian God, I still don't know what you might be celebrating on Thanksgiving Day, since Thanksgiving Day is based on this batch of rebellious Christians in 1621. I want to say, and I want everyone to know, my Thanksgiving Day is celebrated in imitation of those rebellious Christians in Massachusetts in 1621. Now, I'm not so naive as to think that those separatists or pilgrims might ever want me to attend their Thanksgiving Day celebration. To the pilgrims, I would probably be considered too free a thinker. The pilgrims probably wouldn't have me, but I would certainly welcome them to my Thanksgiving Day dinner. I would be celebrating Thanksgiving Day with Roger Williams down in Rhode Island. Roger Williams was also too free a thinker and had to go start the colony of Rhode Island. Roger Williams was thrown out of Massachusetts. Williams was banished for his freedom-loving Christian thinking. So maybe it would be helpful if I explain why I would go to the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving dinner and I would invite them to my Thanksgiving dinner, even though I don't believe it ever could have happened that we would sit down together for Thanksgiving Day celebration. With those pilgrims of 1621, I believe that God has given us God's word, that God was in Jesus Christ, that if we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father God, that we should read our Bibles in English, or whatever language is your language, that we should worship as we see fit, with our own prayers, our own praises, our own thanksgivings, and not have them printed for us in an approved book, that we should elect our own clergy, our own leadership, that God is at work among us and through us for God's glory, that we are called to share what we consider the good news of God's grace and love. Most of what I just related to you is what made the pilgrims religious refugees from England. The English king, James I, believed the king and the king's church should be in control of many of what the pilgrims wanted to do for themselves. So the pilgrims got fined for not attending the king's church and were threatened with arrest and prison for having teachers not licensed and ordained by the English government. Some of the pilgrims' group, they didn't call themselves pilgrims, they were called separatists. They separated from England's church and the king's control of that church. Some of the separatist group at one point left for the Netherlands to be out of the reach of the English king. That didn't always work. William Tyndale had left England to work on his own English translation of God's Word, the Bible. Tyndale was captured by the English king's agents in the city of Antwerp before his translation was completed. Tyndale was condemned for heresy, and William Tyndale was executed by strangulation and then burned at the stake. This should be a reminder that Christians might have burned witches at the stake, but Christians didn't mind burning other Christians at the stake if those other Christians got out of line. This would probably be a good time to put your hand on your Bible or the Pew Bible and give a silent prayer of thanks for the Bible that you read freely. People have died and been executed to put those Pew Bibles in your pews and in your homes. So part of what I want you to know is that those we call pilgrims did not come to this country in order to start a colony. Those Christians came to the shores of America to survive. They were religious refugees. The pilgrims weren't sent by the English government. They were escaping the English government. They were sponsored by English merchants, but only to pay for the trip to America and some extra with raw materials. Those first pilgrims were running for their lives. Running for their lives to worship God as they saw fit and to read the Bibles they wanted to read. The pilgrims were not colonists. What we could say in the 21st century is that the pilgrims came here to establish a religious commune. Now, for some of us in the 21st century, if you're not sure God exists or you're not at all fond of the Bible, I can see how you might not be too sure about celebrating Thanksgiving Day, given Thanksgiving Day's severe religious Christian roots. So I wonder why Christians in America don't get really excited about Thanksgiving Day. American Christians started giving up Thanksgiving Day worship or Thanksgiving Day Eve worship over 150 years ago. I don't expect, and I don't look for a comeback to Thanksgiving Day worship. Today, Christians and pagans alike claim Thanksgiving as a family holiday. And I once gave an entire sermon on that idea, remembering comedian David Letterman's statement that Thanksgiving is the only holiday we look forward to spending time with people whom we've been avoiding all year long. So if the pilgrims did not come to colonize this country, then what about the people who were already here in the Americas, the Native Americans? That's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it. The history is that the Wampanoag tribe of natives, whom the pilgrims bumped into when they landed at Plymouth, the Wampanoag were glad that they might make these Europeans their allies. Why did the natives need allies? Contrary to popular belief, life among Native Americans was not always peaceful. And through no fault of anyone there present, the land right next to the Wampanoag had just come on the market because the tribe that had lived there was decimated by European diseases brought by European fishermen and maybe even some natives who'd been captured by Europeans and pirated away from their own people. The native known as Squanto, he was a Patuxet Indian named Tisquantum, was such a person, and he had even picked up some English language skills while forced to travel with his captors. And Tisquantum greeted the pilgrims in English. Now, if you were a stranger in a strange land and knew no one and didn't know the language, but you were a strong Christian, what would you think if one of the strangers who walked up to you spoke your language? A miracle of God, right? You have to admit, the word coincidence doesn't begin to explain that moment in 1620. And the pilgrims' own report is that the natives were most helpful in the one thing the pilgrims could not do for themselves, the pilgrims' survival. Their survival. The only reason the pilgrims had any dinner and what is called the first Thanksgiving, the only reason that the pilgrims could eat was because of the natives sitting with them at the feast. And the pilgrims invited the natives, and the pilgrims knew these natives were godless pagans, at least as far as the pilgrims understood religion in the 17th century. And I want any number of American Christians to understand that the pilgrims did invite godless pagans to their dinner. I've read several accounts of these early years of pilgrim and Native American. It's right to remind all of us that we were latecomers to the Americas and that the survival of the pilgrims was dependent on the natives. There was a peace between the pilgrims and the natives. I want to pause and let that sink in. There was a peace between the pilgrims and the natives. And then writers jump to the falling out between Europeans and natives. They jump to that as if the wars and desolation were inevitable and planned, as if the Europeans were carrying on an ethnic cleansing. I would suggest, especially as Christians, I would suggest that we want to look at the years of peace in 1621 as a real possibility still today. In all my readings, our two cultures, European and Native American, our two cultures were probably too different to live very long as we consider good neighbors. But as Christians, I want to believe it could have been possible and still is possible. I want to believe that as Christians, not as colonists, but as Christians, we could have loved our neighbors, but we failed to continue to do so. But I admit that today there are people in this country who make it difficult for us to love our neighbors, and I will talk about them next week. At my Thanksgiving dinner, I would welcome the pilgrims even if they wouldn't have me. I would also welcome Native Americans because I know that they gave the pilgrims survival. The natives would probably come to my Thanksgiving dinner because they had a tradition of giving thanks to their God. As the apostle noted 2,000 years ago, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. The Wampanoag would say amen, or its native equivalent. The separatists would have said amen, and I would say amen. But before we finish, I want to emphasize that survival for the Puritans was not individual. Half their number died in the first winter where they landed at Plymouth. Half. What kind of survival is that? Could today's Christians, American Christians, give thanks after half their number were cut down by cold, starvation, and disease? What about today's prosperity gospel Christians? What about the so-called Christians today who believe that God will prosper them personally with financial prosperity? Could they have celebrated Thanksgiving in 1621? Any more these days, I will say that I'm grateful, and then I will say I'm grateful to be grateful. Grateful to God the Father of Jesus Christ. As you might guess, I've read many materials on mental health if you've listened to any of my other sermons. Many of them say that practicing gratitude is an important part of mental health. The Bible says, give thanks. The words give thanks appear about 50 times in the Bible. The full phrase, give thanks to the Lord, occurs about half as many times in the Bible. I'm sure the 50 give thanks in the Bible always means give thanks to God, give thanks to the Lord. Christians in America have been given a whole day, a holiday, to give thanks to the Lord. Imagine that our God knows more about our mental health thousands of years ago than we do now. God's word calls us to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. It's just plain good for your mental health. We Christians should give thanks to the natives also, the tribes of Massachusetts, the natives who could have wiped out the pilgrims. I recently read about the Vikings in Newfoundland. They left Newfoundland because of the hostile natives. God worked all things for the good of that first church in Plymouth. Half of them died, but the church survived. The pilgrims were grateful. Shouldn't we also be grateful? Grateful to God and grateful to the natives. The Apostle Paul will say about two people leading a house church in Rome, in the 16th chapter, "They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches are grateful to them. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." May we be so grateful in our own time also. Amen.